Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to another episode of Pneumaticos. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich, and this morning's episode is entitled, We Must Reckon Ourselves Dead to the Practice of Sin. I'm going to be reading from Romans chapter 6, beginning at verse 1, and we'll read down to verse 11. So Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to 11. One of the reasons why I wanted to do this particular study is because of the time in which we live and because of the culture in which we live. We live in a post-Western culture. That is, we live in a time in which the culture, as it were, of Western civilization has been shattered. Self-alienation is rampant. Disintegration, that is social disintegration, is most certainly rampant as well. People are floundering and people have been set adrift because there is no compass. And even those who profess to have a compass have no compass themselves. What we are witnessing is what happens in a culture when God is no more. That is in their mind. We are seeing the consequences of what happens when people believe that they have no need for God. We live in a time of relativistic nihilism. And as believing ones, it is most certainly important for us to know how not to in to the that is present within its country and indeed within the Western world. So I'm going to be reading from the book of Romans, Paul's magnum opus. The book of Romans presents Paul's most systematic thinking about the faith once for all given to the saints. And so this book was written equally for a world that was experiencing chaos, breakdown, a social system that was not working. And so it is marvelous to read about the context and the background of Paul's letter to the Romans. This culture must find a way, that is, the believing one in this culture must find a way, once again, to be serious about God and to stop the and to once again be real with God. We have to be we have to be right to be real. And we cannot be real if we are not right with God. We do not have the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The doctrine does not go away because there are those who wish to practice sin. Doctrine does not go away. Doctrine does not vanish. Doctrine does not evaporate because it is a consensus opinion of people or of a culture, of a country, or of a civilization that they no longer want to follow God. Jesus most pointedly stated and emphatically stated that heaven and earth shall pass away, mention that my words will never pass away. See, the world, as it were, the one who wields the cosmic blue, the one who throws up particles coming to existence to make up material reality as we know it, the one who undergirds, the one who created the ages, the ions, the one who is beneath the implicate order, is God Almighty. And he cannot be dismissed by human will. And so those who are confessors, that is, believers who agree with God that he is God. I am not speaking to mere professors of the faith, but to the confessors, those who confess, those who agree with God about the person of Jesus Christ. So in Paul's letter to the Romans, in chapter 6, verse 1, he writes, what shall we say then? Shall we, that is the believing ones, shall we continue in the sin? There are great studies on the article, on the Greek article, and this very important part in the Word of God. The Greek has articles in places that we would never, in our language, think of placing articles. Articles help us to understand so much of the Greek text. So Paul writes, shall we continue in the sin? That grace that is callous, the grace, once again, he uses the article, hey, that grace may abound, that is superabound. How shall we, verse 2, that are dead to sin, live any longer therein? How shall we, again, he is addressing the believing community, that are dead to sin, and here it is notice the language that are dead to sin. The Greek word, of course, is different here. And so there's a very powerful meaning that Paul has here in the Greek text. He is given an aorist, the indicative, at a point in time with Christ, whom it's a prefix at a point in time. That is one of the Pauline prefixes that are used to speak our new relationship in Christ. That prefix, however, is not used in context. How shall we that are dead to the aorist indicative at a point in time we die? Time is specified, but at a point a particular action happens. Indicative refers to a simple statement of fact. We are dead to sin. The power of sin was broken by the cross. The power of sin is broken by the cross. It is important for us as believing ones to no longer be seduced and stop being seduced by the tenet, by the doctrine of psychologized man. See the mess we are in because of a psychologized view of man. And what has come about? Now, I say that for the reasons that I shall bring out shortly. How shall we that are dead to sin and here in verse 2 the word sin is hamartia. Excuse me. And we shall define sin as any lack or want of conformity to the character of God, whether it be an act, disposition, or state. So sin is any want or lack of conformity to the character of God. Live any longer therein. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized, again, an aorist, indicative, passive. When Paul states in verse 2 that we are dead to sin, he uses an aorist, indicative, active, the active voice, which means that the subject is the doer or performer of the action. And the subject, of course, is God and God's grace. So in this verse, verse 3, he writes, know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus. And so here the term baptized, which is given an error that in this passage, means that the subject was acted upon the man. In this context, subject was acted upon by God, who baptized him or her, or he or she, into Jesus Christ. We're baptized into his death. And so here is the great high agent. Here is that stop. Here is the halt. Sin is no more because its power was broken by God through Christ. Verse 4, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism, or so the word here is not by baptism, but we have dia. We have the preposition dia. Through. Therefore, we are buried, aorist indicative passive, on skin with him, through baptism. Into the death. into the death. That, like as Christ was raised, again, aorist indicative, he was raised by the power of God. He was woke up by the power of God, by the Spirit of God. That like as Christ was raised up, ek is a preposition which means out from. Christ was raised up from or out from death by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in life. Here the word newness means a life that is qualitatively different. If any man in Christ, he is new creation, not a, because there's no indefinite article, as you say, in the Greek. If any man in Christ, and it is the word anthropos, which means either male or female. If any man in Christ, he is new creation. This blurring of gender, this tinkering with gender, is nothing new. This overreach of gender, this attempt to introduce into the male-female order of distinction something new will not work. Yes, we have evidence of hermaphrodites and other situations, but male and female is the order given by Scripture, and this order will not be broken. This order will not be supplanted. Now, of course, we can manipulate what has been given in male or female through drugs, through chemicals, through experimentation. But these are very dangerous areas, which means the supplanting of individuals as individuals and making them into automatons to be manipulated by the will of another. Verse 5, if we have implanted together in the likeness of his death, please read the language carefully. For if we have implanted thum futoi, planted together, an adjective, thum futoi, if we have implanted together in the likeness of his death, that happened at a point in time, we shall be, future middle, also in the likeness of his resurrection. Now, this, that our old man is crucified with him. Now, kaleos is the adjective, old, that modifies the noun man in this context, is. And notice that the state of being verb is, knowing that our old man is crucified, it is a fact that remains, it is a constant, it is a state of being verb. That our old man, and the word here for old is kaleos once again, and kaleos is an interesting word. Because, first of all, it is the word from which you get our English word, genealogy. Kaleos means of long duration. It also means old in years. It also means worn out. Now, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul writes, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things, and again, a layoff. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That is qualitatively new and or fresh, ever to remain so. So, in 2 Corinthians, let me state that the word is archaic. It is not playoffs, it is archaic. From the word archaos, which means original or ancient. So Paul uses archaic here in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Archaos, which means original or ancient, this is a term that he uses here. So, or that which is from the beginning, archaic. In Romans chapter 6, he uses teleos. So, archaea in 2 Corinthians 5:17 and teleos, that's used in Romans chapter 6, verse 6, both communicate very powerful truth. Now, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any be in Christ, he is new creation. The word here, new, is once again, pain of kindness. And it means that which is called basically. So, as we go back to Romans chapter 6, Paul writes, a purpose clause, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Now, please note that Paul does not mean the extinction of our physical body. He does not mean that at all. The word destroyed here is a little much, because Paul means to make these or to idle. So that there will so that we cannot practice sin through the body. The body has been rendered idle so that it does not practice sin. The vehicle to which we practice sin has to do with the body. And so Paul writes in verse 6 that the body of sin might be made idle. That, again, henceforth, we should not serve sin. And that is the bond servant to the practice of sin. The bond servant to the practice of sin. For he that is dead, logically, is free from sin. There can be no longer this practicing of sin. Why is this so important? Well, because of the insidious nature of sin. Because as a culture, this culture has decided that it will not recognize sin. And so persons have written about the old idea of sin. And so in that, they placate what is popular, not work, and they pretend that sin was merely an old religious idea. And sin is not an old religious idea. Sin is a terrible reality, and sin is not tantamount to pathology, whereas psychopathologies are symptomatic of sin. And the contortions and the distortions that sin brings to the personality. The Bible speaks of a very heinous nature of sin. And there are researchers who know these things, who know these truths, but who can not speak openly about what they know, about what sin does. Our society is most certainly adept at pretending sin is not real and is most certainly practiced at hiding the consequences of sin. Well, this will not go on, and this cannot continue, because Jesus himself said that which is that in darkness shall be shouted from the rooftops. And the Old Testament has different words that talk about the consequences of sin. Sin may remain hidden for a little while, but Psalm 90 tells us that our secret sins are an open scandal in heaven. There is no hiding sin. And when persons refuse to confess sin or to acknowledge the reality of sin, there are consequences within the personality that take place. The personality begins to become the shape, and most certainly spiritual pathology moves in, and most certainly symptomatic behaviors move in that the Bible calls the work of flesh, the work of flesh. The energia of sarx, the works of flesh, what it does to an individual's life, that it's free from sin. Paul writes in verse 11, and likewise reckon to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign. In verse 12 we have, let not sin therefore reign as king in your mortal body. So we have a prohibition given in the imperative. Paul wants them to forbid or to stop an action that is already going on. And so Paul says in verse 11, in this way, in the same manner, word reckon is to calculate or to reason, that is right now, that is to count on, it is given in the present imperative. Do it now. And the imperative is a command. And so as believing ones, we are to live lives of holiness, lives that are honoring to God. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. Have a wonderful day.